Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Yeah, Nick, Jason, Ducker, welcome to the podcast.
Okay, so let's head over to the States, can we, Ducker? I've given you no notice for this, but take us there.
Oh. There we are. The sights, the sounds, the smells.
Get me some corn dogs, gang. Because a toddler has decided to go on her balcony at her home and experiment with putting her head between the bars. Things from there did not go well.
Can't imagine it did.
I still don't understand fully how so many people can get their head through bars but can't get them back out. It's something to do with the ears, apparently.
Stupid ears. Yeah. They'll bend one way and not the other.
Oh, no. What the heck? Anyway, so she had to get the police called, and then they decided that the best thing to do was to get a battering ram to get her out of the balcony.
And what, like pop her out?
Or hit her.
Now, I pictured, and I saw the title of this article, that, yeah, they were just like, one, two, three, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But
shoot her out the other end.
Yeah, but instead, no, what they've done is they've wedged it kind of like a lever. And they've wedged it between the two bars, and then two people have used on one end of the battering ram and squeezed it open just enough so that the ear space could be enough for her to be able
like
to get it
out. Like a jailbreak where you push open those bars.
I've always wondered if you could actually do that.
Yeah.
Like a real-life jailbreak, you could get enough leverage, enough angle and force. I saw it in Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one, where Captain Jack Sparrow does it because William Turner built the door of the cell that he's in. William Turner's like, enough pressure, enough force, we can get this off.
Yeah, you get that one weaker bar, bada bing, bada boom, free man.
Could you, over many years, just like ease it just a millimetre each year, you know, just
possibly
with your force of your arms?
Like, if you're in there for life, like you've committed murder.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Shawshank Redemption, that was maybe his first plot, and then went, you know what, I'm going to try the spoon thing.
Yeah. Maybe he tried, you know, double-endedly going for the wall and the bars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ruin the Shawshank Redemption for you here. He's chipping away at the wall, but he stays trying to stretch the bars a bit.
That's right. Yeah. And that's just the one that the wall gave in easier.
When I first met Andy Dufresne, he cost me a packet of cigarettes.
What a film.
Great film.
What a film.
A film that's very good, but a film that I can't watch often.
True. I do. The statute of limitations surely is up on the Shawshank.
That.
I find it really unsatisfying that the warden at the end shoots himself. I found that really unsatisfying. I was like, no, he needed to be punished more.
Yeah.
He was such
a
villain.
Yeah.
I hate that he escaped punishment. Mm. It's a really unsatisfying end to that character's narrative.
Mm. Also, I think certainly through the early 2000s, I would say 50% of football players' favourite movie was The Shawshank Redemption because they've obviously been told, like, this will make you look a little bit smarter.
To know something about the Shawshank Redemption. I was going to say, I don't remember the football scenes in Shawshank Redemption. Oh,
no,
you just mean having a knowledge.
You know the bios that they always do? What's your favourite colour? What's your favourite
meal?
Movie. Who's the funniest
in the club? Shawshank
What's your favourite
Redemption.
Movie? It was always Shawshank Redemption.
It's such a good movie, it's a cop-out to say it's your favourite.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
It's too popular.
Yeah.
Thus, it's uncool now to say, yeah.
But also, it's got a certain level of cred as well.
It does. I mean, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
You're not dissing anything Morgan's put his name to.
No, you wouldn't.
Not like Revenge of the Planet of the Apes, for instance.
Oh, that's one of the great films.
Yeah.
It's Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, sorry.
Tool. Oh, my God. Hey, dear, you know what your punishment is? You're coming over. We are watching Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
that's a punishment
Dawn
worse
of the Planet
than
of
death.
The Apes, and War of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh,
back
all
to
of
back
them.
To back.
Mini marathon. I'll bring the popcorn.
Yesterday, of course, the earthquake. Of course, it started in Melbourne, but we felt it here.
Mm, yeah. 5.9 in Mansfield. It's like a regional town in Victoria. And we felt it all the way up in Newcastle. Absolutely bizarre scenes.
So weird. And I messaged my wife straight after and she said she didn't feel it. She was in Belmont at the time.
Oh, mate, we're in Honeysuckle. Angus was at King Street Hotel. He didn't feel it.
Yes.
I'm like, you're around the corner.
Yeah, it was weird.
Around the corner. You're a metre away from us.
So I'll take you through. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. What happened? So we're in this very room in our studio, the top level at Honeysuckle, where our studio is. And Nick, you, me and our boss, Jace, felt it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was having vertigo or something. I've never had that before, but everything was just moving, and it was, like wobbly. And I was like, is it just me? Look over at Nick. Nick's staring at the floor, looking like he's about to pass out.
I was like, oh, God, my age has got to me. My time has come. I'm about to pass out here. I don't want to mention it to anyone to concern them. So I didn't say anything. And then you, Ducko, go, is the room moving? And I'm like, oh, my God. Yes, the room is moving for him too.
I'm not dying. I'm not getting old.
It's so weird. Producer Sophie and I did not feel it. We were both, I think she was standing, I was sitting. We're having a chat though.
Yeah, you were chatting away.
We were chatting away, maybe about the Sex and the City reboot. So
yeah,
maybe
so.
We're preoccupied. Yeah, that's why you guys are off in your own little world. Could feel the earth move.
Yeah, which was not useful because Sophie is our fire warden. So in emergencies,
she's
supposed to evacuate us. So nothing
But
was
she's
happening.
Lost her hard hat. So
God,
she's just, it's all gone out the window.
That's why she can't do the job properly. You know what I mean? How does she get out of producer hat without a fire warden hat.
Yeah. Right, no authority without the hard hat.
I know. And then the secondary fire warden came and got us all out.
Yes.
And then we went downstairs and rather intelligently just stood next to the building that, look, realistically, if there is an earthquake and there's danger of maybe more shakes or building damage, the place you don't want to be is the building that's going to potentially fall down.
Yep, yep.
Or in front of that building,
Are you gunning for fire warden? Look at you brushing up on your earthquake.
Look at you campaigning for it. Vote
on Gil. The earthquake protocol. Yeah. Sophie, watch out. He's coming for your hard act.
Yeah. But it was funny seeing, because our whole building, there's plenty of different offices and things in this building. Everyone got evacuated. We all obviously go to the lift first. We're like, no, you shouldn't take a lift. Go to the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Took the stairs. We all go outside. Then we all rushed to like the field around the corner, like the empty vacant lot. And we all just sat in this lot for a while, like, is it over?
Yeah, and it was really bizarre. I pulled my phone out, because as you do, and my dad, who's in Melbourne, had texted our family group chat saying, this is so wild, we all just got evacuated, we've had an earthquake. And my brain went, wait, where are you? Are you in Newcastle?
Yeah.
And that's where, well, yeah, I first heard, I was like, oh, it's in Melbourne as well, and much more severely than we felt it here in Newey.
Yeah, my mum was at work at the time, and she said her desk was rattling and things were falling over on her desk.
Don't you reckon it was like the start to an end of the world film? Like, we got evacuated. There was a bit of a quake here. Then we run out. And it's like, Melbourne's got it too. And I was like,
yes.
If I saw planes crashing down right now and UFOs coming down, I'd believe it.
I know. Yeah. And the year that 2021 has served up, let alone September of 2021, it's like, okay, pile it on.
Yep.
It's just like another thing to the disaster heap.
And there was some great posts going around on social media, some very funny ones, and then some really concerning ones, like a lady who said she started going down the rabbit hole of how the government can control weather.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do we think it's a coincidence? Open your eyes, people.
Dan Andrews doesn't want tradies on the streets rioting and protesting. Yeah. All of a sudden there's an earthquake right on cue. Ooh.
Ooh. It's like Dan Andrews hit the earthquake button in his office.
Open your eyes.
Open your eyes. Isn't it's funny. Unbelievable.
But I thought, guys, you know how you're saying like planes dropping out of the sky and stuff like that? Is this the millennium bug just 21 years too late?
Oh, is it computer
is that
take
Y2K?
Over?
Is that
That's my theory.
Maybe.
Could definitely be. Y2K.
You're right, mate. It could be. But you guys were probably the luckiest people, I'd say, in the country yesterday being around me.
Why?
All the training I've had with earthquakes in San Andreas, the film.
Of course, the disaster film from 2013 that you got cut from.
Yeah. I mean, I was still on set when the sets would shake and vibrate and stuff, so I knew what to do. I was in those scenes that got cut.
Yep.
So like it was like, everyone get behind me. Here we go. I'll take lead.
Alongside Paul Giamatti, who was the earthquake expert of the film.
Yep. I played preppy student, so I relived my preppy student. Didn't you see me get all preppy yesterday?
I didn't notice you anywhere yesterday. Were you even there? Were you cut
I was cut from the earthquake.
Were you cut from our scenes yesterday as well? We filmed
and
something
I was actually first to get out of here too. I called my wife and she picked me up and I was like, all right, guys, have a good one.
See ya.
What did you do with the ashes? Mm. I mean, someone's died and you've got the ashes and you do some creative things with them.
Did we talk about it on air, how you make ashes? So you obviously cremate the person and then you have to put them in a blender.
Yeah.
That's right. You put them in the Nutribullet.
In the Nutribullet. That's how you get that actual consistency.
Or the Fruit Ninja 2000 like you guys got me for my birthday. Yep.
Also from Harvey Norman.
1500 watt. Is that enough for human bones?
I hope so. I can test it out.
Please don't. I don't know where you're accessing your ingredients, but don't.
If you've got ashes, you want me? No, we'll go down there. But anyway, the reason we're asking, it was funny. Yesterday on the show, I talked about Jamal Williams, who plays NFL in the States for the Detroit Lions, who used to play for Green Bay. And those teams were meeting on the weekend to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that funny interview. Well, the story actually comes out of that game that they had in the States. Green Bay beat the Detroit Lions. But the MVP of the game, Aaron Jones, who actually plays for Green Bay, he wears his dad's ashes in a necklace, in a little shape like a little NFL football, around his neck while he plays.
During the game?
During the game.
Surely that's a hazard.
I would have thought so. You know how you see sprinters run with necklaces and big earrings?
The
and you're
big earrings.
Yeah, that slows you down, surely, but they do it. Anyway, he wears a necklace and it goes under the jersey and stuff, so it normally stays on him, but it's a little football and it's got his dad's ashes in there. Also, I don't know how much of his dad's in there because it's tiny.
Sure, just a pinky finger or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just enough to
know it's
Dad
him.
To know that he's there.
Yeah.
Just the good bits. Yeah. Anyway, he got the MVP of the game, scored 4 touchdowns. That's like 4 tries, yes. And he scored...
Thank you. What is that, like 300 points?
Yeah, let's go with that. Scored 4 of those, right.
Wow, he's good.
Wow, that would even win in a game of flipping Quidditch.
That's what you've gone with? Quidditch.
Well, you've got to be 150 points up once you catch the snitch.
Oh, anyway, whatever. Anyway, he did well. He did really well.
MVP.
MVP, most valuable player. But at the end, during one of those touchdowns he got, his dad fell off his neck and landed somewhere in the end zone.
He lost the necklace. Well, that was going to happen. What do your parents always say? Don't take your valuables out of the house because you're going to lose them.
Yes. So then after the game, he's like, I've lost my dad. Can we all help find my dad? So his team, the ground staff and the security at the stadium stayed until 2 a.m. to scour do an emu parade.
Did the other team?
No, the other team left.
Why, as if you wouldn't help. That's like a cause beyond us all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, not so good. Pants up.
And they found it.
They found his dad. The groundskeeper of that specific stadium found his dad.
Where, like, was it like embedded in the grass or something?
Just surely
in the end
zone.
Trampled on.
Yeah.
If that had come on early in the game, lucky he didn't get flung into the crowd or someone pinched it.
Maybe it didn't come early because he scored four. So his dad was with him. And then when his dad wasn't with him, he didn't score another.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I've never heard a more American story than a mate of mine who went over and did uni. They call it college over there, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Is that the same as kindy?
I feel as though you had a lot explained to you in this break. I might as well keep going.
Is that where people go?
Yeah, they go there
and
study.
So they study, just like reading books.
Yeah. That frat parties and stuff. We'll explain later,
Jess. Yeah, thank you. I've seen Remember the Titans. I know what a touchdown is. I didn't pick that up earlier. I love Remember the Titans. Denzel, that's one of his best films. I've also seen The Replacements, Keanu Reeves, also NFL.
Yep. The Blind Side.
The Blind Side, Sandra Bullock. What a film. I know. Okay. Let's erase that. I know what a touchdown is.
I was just trying to help. Speaking of the Hit family, through you.
Yeah, talk to the Hit family. Anyway, I know what college is. I've seen things.
Anyway, so that was college, which is uni in Australia.
Thank you.
Ducko. And this guy's mate his dad passed away, and they cremated him and then put it into some gunpowder, went to a shooting range, and started shooting their dad's bullets at the target.
No way.
Was he a big gun guy?
He was a gun enthusiast, active member of the NRA. And said the last thing that he would have wanted to do would be fired out of a gun.
America!
Holy moly.
Creative things you can do with the ashes on 13 1060. What'd you do? Had some people get in touch on the gram, on social media. We posted this last night. Karen Whiteford said, I went to scatter my husband's ashes into the lake. As I did, the wind picked up and blew him into my face. It was the last time he blew my face.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
That's a sex joke, Jess.
Thank you.
Seamus has said...
thank you.
What did Seamus say?
Seamus has said, flush the old mold down the toilet.
Oh,
now, a toilet is...
I guess you flush, Jess.
It's like... It's a basin with some water at the bottom. It's got a flush at the top, Jess. And like,
what do they mean by old mole? Seamus.
She was a biart.
So Seamus is a person.
Seamus is a person, and the old mole also was a person at one point.
But it's like a bit of vernacular, kind of slang for somebody that maybe is aged. And that they don't like a whole lot.
Okay, is that why they ended up down the toot?
Yes. Yeah.
Righto.
Yeah.
Crying, laughing emoji, Seamus. I don't know if that's funny. You're going to get haunted.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if someone flushed me down the toilet, I would come back and disturb your life so drastically.
You would
regret the day.
Oh, absolutely.
You would rue the day.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep going back to Harry Potter here, but Moaning Myrtle.
Jesus Christ. Where are we going?
And I get touchdown explained to me. Look at this nerd over here bringing up
Quidditch
and Moaning Myrtle.
Anyway, 13 1060. If you want to explain something to Jess, or you want to call in with what you do with the ashes. What
did
you do with the ashes?
Belinda, who got in touch 0488881069 on our text line, said Mum wanted to stay at home, so she's in the TV cabinet, so she can always watch her favourite shows.
Mm, hope the cabinet's open for her.
I
hope it's her ashes.
Yeah.
She's not just in a TV cabinet.
Oh, you know, I want to be stuffed. You
and put in the corner
of the
studio.
Yeah. So I'm always there. And you can squeeze my hand. It's like probe.
Oh, my God, like the Build-A-Bear.
Exactly. Can I pull your finger? We should install something where you can pull the finger.
Hopefully it doesn't fall off.
Justin in YE.
Yeah.
Good morning, Justin.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What did you do with the ashes?
We had a friend years and years ago who... died in a surfing accident, and he was a mad surfer. So a couple of the boys got new boards made and put his ashes in their boards. So
cool.
He was always surfing with them.
Oh my God! So he can continue surfing.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Thank you for sharing, Justin.
Matty in New Lambton, what did you do with the ashes?
Morning, legends. How are we?
Excellent. Good, Matty.
mate, my mum actually passed away a few years ago, and you know, we had a lengthy time to spend with her before she actually passed, and she just did everything herself, and she organised these glass baubles with her ashes. I got a blue swirl through mine for all of us kids and my stepdad.
Wait, oh, that's nice. She organised it for you.
Yeah.
Oh, so she did it. When I go, I'm putting me on the Christmas tree, so make sure you hang me up and don't even forget
exactly,
to use her bauble.
Exactly. It's really nice. And you know, every time me and my kids go to the beach, we get shells and we put it around the hallway table. And,
That's really gorgeous. Nice.
If I organised something while I was living, it would be something like, hopefully I've amassed a billion-dollar fortune by the time I pass away. Mm-hmm. And then I bequeath the money to my children, but they have to send me to space first.
So use up all the money
to send
you to space.
And that's the only way they can get their inheritance is written in.
Idiots.
Whatever's left, yeah.
Thanks, Matty. Naomi's in Cameron Park on 13 1060. Naomi, what'd you do with the ashes?
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Great, thanks.
So my son went on a year 6 excursion a couple of years ago. The ashes of my grandma were in a little urn on a necklace of his. She was really into the government and parliament, so when he was on his excursion, he scattered some of the ashes at the Parliament House.
Are you allowed to do that?
No way.
I don't know, but, you know, he was in year 6 and he done it anyway. So,
he just took the ashes and just ducked away from the excursion and said, Miss, I've just got to pop in and put them down here.
I don't think anyone knew. I think he just done it on some of the grass outside. It was only a small amount. It was just like in a little urn around his neck.
Oh, right. Well, that's a guardian angel for life, that. The opposite of the Seamus who flushed an old mole down the toilet, who's getting haunted, as if Nan's not looking after your little boy.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Speaking of a nana, Sky got in touch. She said, my nephew's nana is in the floorboards. After he decided to sprinkle her around as a small child. Doesn't sound like that was planned.
No.
Just sprinkled like Nana around.
I've read Cairns, haven't I?
Thank you, you've read Cairns.
The wimp people, I blew it into his face. That was the last time you ever.
Thank you. Yeah, well done, Cairns. Thank you for contributing, everyone, in every capacity.
And ashes, Jess. Nick, do you want to tell Jess about ashes?
Hey, I had the ashes fact about the blender. I am the ashes expert. Thank you very much. Credit.
Can you get the beep ready for me again, please, Ducko?
Of course I can.
Because the Instagram page, you should care about, has just released a great little thread called Things That Are Embarrassing For No Reason. I can't think of many things that are as relatable as this massive list. I'm just going to read out a few highlights for you. Mm-hmm. But if you've got one, things that are embarrassing for no reason, please give us a buzz, 13 1060. Walking towards someone you're meeting up with. It is because if you see them too far off, it's like, am I waving already? And then how long do I maintain eye contact?
Yeah,
or
eye contact.
If I'm not, am I avoiding eye contact avidly?
And also, how do I walk? Am I walking normally?
Yeah.
Am I wearing shoes? I'm going to trip. And
okay. You called me weird a few weeks ago for concentrating on how I walk.
No,
and now
but with,
all of a sudden,
when you're being watched, you were doing it on your own.
Yes,
that was
true.
The weird part.
Someone holding the door open for you when you're too far away and you've got to like do the...
Oh,
you don't walk any faster, but you move your arms just a little bit more.
Even yesterday when we were evacuating the building, it started shaking in the quake, there was a woman very kindly holding the fire escape, but she'd been holding it for ages. It's like, are you the holding door person or do I take over now?
Yeah.
Very embarrassing. When do they
let that go? Yeah.
And at what person do you go, all right, that's it, I'm done. You take it.
Yeah. We have it here when we hold the lift sometimes in the morning. Like Jess and I arrive at a similar time and I'll get in and I'm holding the lift for her and then she's still trying to park really quickly to try and get it.
Yeah.
It's that awkward like... And the lift starts beeping at you.
Yeah, and then you're watching me come. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
So I just order 2 elevators every morning just in case Sophie rocks up.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Because then she can take as long as she likes and then there's an elevator ready for her.
You order 2 elevators?
Wow!
Yeah, go up and down.
Why don't you do that for us, Sophie? You should then order.
Yeah, because if you're the next person, you know that one of us is coming.
Again.
I didn't know that was a thing, but I can start doing that.
Yeah, in your last week of working here, that's great now.
Have you ever had a morning where there wasn't an elevator on level 2 ready for you? There shouldn't be.
I mean, I have, but...
She wouldn't be paying attention to that.
Yeah, it's 4 in the morning. Anyway, press on.
All right, asking the price of something and then not buying it.
I love that. That is brilliant.
Other stuff that is embarrassing for no reason. Stopping next to someone at multiple traffic lights. Like, you don't even necessarily make eye contact, but you know that they know and they know that you know, and it's weird. Saying goodbye and then walking the same way.
Oh, awkward.
Oh, it's the same at the supermarket.
Yes. Oh,
and then you do that dance.
You chat like, to them for ages the and then way. It's just like, oh.
And now I've gone into this awful habit of saying, articulating out loud, I'm not going to acknowledge you now. We've said hello. We've said goodbye. Yeah. If I see you in aisle six, I'm purposely going to look down.
I don't care.
I have to make it a thing.
Yeah. Reading something someone has written for you in front of them. And having written songs for people and played it to them, I can assure you that's one of the most embarrassing things in the world. Someone walking in on you singing and you change to a silly voice, leaving a store without buying anything, and then walking the wrong way and having to turn back with some of my faves.
Yes, the store one for me conjures up a change room. If some shops, I don't know why they do it, don't put a mirror in the change room, forcing you to come out and check yourself in the big mirror.
I hate that
so much. Or doing the awkward, you poke your head out and having to ask for assistance.
Trying to find your partner. Can you come to look at it? And you got to walk out, and everyone in the store looks at you, and the shopkeepers look at you like, how does it fit? You're like, don't look at me.
Please don't look at me.
And you're trying on jeans, and you're just like, what do I do with my hands now? I'm looking at myself, and then I'll put them in my pockets. Oh, is that ruining the line of the pants?
Yes.
But I would have my hands in my pockets. This is how they're going to look.
It's so normal and it's necessary, but it's so embarrassing.
One that I find embarrassing for no reason is when you're going for a walk, right? And I'm quite a fast walker, but then I come across somebody who is also a fast walker, but not quite as fast as me. But in order to pass them but not spend too much time next to them, I have to walk comically fast and maybe even slightly jog in order to get past them.
There's nothing worse than being the same pace as someone.
Because you're either a creep who remains 3 metres behind them for like a good few kilometres, or you've got to walk comically fast and then puff yourself out to stay in front of them.
It's so hard to be in society.
Isn't it?
It really is.
My one would be like... if, say, Morgan can't open a jar.
Yeah.
And she's like, can you get it? You're like, oh, yeah. And then you can't open the jar.
Yeah. He's going back and forth.
Tapping it on the table. Like, yeah, to try and, like,
all
loosen
the
lid.
Yeah. And she's like, I'll run under hot water. And you're like, absolutely not. Yeah.
I have got this.
Yeah. And then the classic, I loosened it.
Absolutely. If you're a parent, I know it's school holiday, so the kids might be around you. You might need to go into a cupboard to pick up the phone to tell us this story. Because straight up, we want to know, do you spy on your kids?
Okay. My parents can't be spies. They're not cool enough.
Yeah, see, that's the illusion.
Like spies,
and then they're
like...
spying on you.
That'll be inconspicuous. I'm just going to go into the cupboard with my phone.
Spying on the kids.
Kids are stupid. They'll believe you.
Kids are idiots, man.
Parents, do you spy on your kids? Because a girlfriend of mine, so I used to live in regional Victoria in a place called Shepparton. And a girlfriend of mine who still lives there, she recently posted on her Instagram, she's such a spy. And she had some footage, and it looked like out of a car window.
Yeah.
The car was moving along, filming a small girl riding her bike. Looked like she was in a school uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And the caption was, Tessie rode to school today, and she thinks she did it for the first time on her own. But little does she know that Dad and I were following her the whole time in the car.
Oh, got her.
Just to make sure she got there safely.
Yeah.
And I just thought, one, that's the sweetest thing in the world. I understand safety, obviously paramount to any parent.
Yeah.
And letting your kid ride to school on their own, that would be very scary.
First time,
but
particularly.
But also, you want them to be independent
yep.
and learn some of that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I seem to be awkward, though, if the kid then thinks that they're spying, they're another car, they're spying on her, then she goes home and tells her parents, this car's following me to school every day.
100%. You've got to teach your kids 000. Yeah. Imagine she starts calling 000.
Mom,
there's a blue
done.
Toyota following me. Oh, wait a minute. I think that's my mum hanging out the window.
And then what do you do? Oh,
hey,
Tessie has, wow, I was just on the way to the shops.
Do you need anything?
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah.
I love it. Rachel got in touch on the Hit Newcastle Facebook page and she said, my mum did this when I was a kid going to school. And when I caught the school bus for the first time, she followed the bus and the bus driver actually pulled over after a while and asked her, what's the reason you're following the school bus?
Oh, no
thinking
way.
She was probably some creeper.
Oh, the bus was just trying to stick up for the kids on the bus.
Yeah.
And do the right thing.
Like,
that'd be so embarrassing if you were that kid.
So embarrassing. Because then all the kids would be out the back window like, oh, whose mum is it? Rachel.
Suck it, Rachel.
There's four cars following behind. Jesse said, I do, but with technology. The problem is he's good at technology, so he knows about it. I've started letting my 10-year-old walk to his friend's house, but he's got a smartwatch with a GPS and knows that I'm tracking him.
Duh. Technology, the curse.
As a parent of 2 4-year-olds, they're like too young to be able to do anything independently just yet.
You've still got them on the lead.
Yeah.
The
little backpack. But I absolutely, for the first time doing them, I reckon I would probably just have a little sleuth about.
Well, you'll be able to school because you'll be working this show.
That's true.
But, yeah. You know, maybe getting home from school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe I could get a drone.
You could get a drone, totally. Yeah.
Just to follow them around.
Even it might be a matter of, like, reading diaries or something. Do you know?
Oh, you go that far? Do you read the diary?
Well, maybe. I don't know. As a parent, I mean...
Do you read their
they
texts?
Belong to you.
Get a key cut for their love heart lock on their diary.
Do the fingerprint scanner thing like you see in Charlie's Angels.
Do kids still have diaries? Surely they don't. It'll be in their laptops or iPads. Or
oh, I hope
are
so.
People handwriting journals anymore?
I don't think so. Surely
that makes
not.
It harder to read as 13, a parent.
1060 if your kid's got a journal or a diary.
I still handwrite a diary once a year.
You
do.
That's you,
Dan. You are ancient. You're from a different era.
In your own category,
babe. You're an enigma.
You are.
Yeah.
Don't have a padlock.
Well, Jace, our boss, said his daughter has a diary.
Okay. Has a diary. There you go.
There you go. Okay, interesting.
Pen to paper. We love it. Well, 13, 10, 60, we are asking, as a parent, do you spy on your kids? Maybe it is, you know, the car following the bike.
Yep.
Maybe it's diary related. Do you spy on your kids? All in the name of love, obviously.
Yeah. Or maybe it's the old GPS.
The GPS.
Or maybe they brought a boy or a girl over to the house for the first time and you just like barge open the door.
Yeah.
Or you look through the window.
And
13,
then you
10,
put
60.
The little tracker chip in his shoe so that you can see where he goes and follow him.
Or have you bought one of those dentist angled mirrors that you can poke
around
the corner?
Morgan's dad's a dentist.
As if like he wasn't using that little cheeky bendy mirror to spy on you guys.
Classic. He was impressed.
Madeline is in Shortland. Good morning, Mads.
Hi, how's it going?
Great, thanks. Do you spy on your kids?
Well, I don't have kids, but my dad spied on me. This was actually when I was in year seven, I was catching the bus home from school and I would walk home. Like I'd get to the bus stop and then walk the rest of the distance. Mm. And when he got his new car, a couple weeks prior, he had sort of touched on like stranger danger. So he followed me home when he got his new car, so I didn't recognize the car, to see what I would do in like a stranger danger situation.
Oh. Shut up, he was testing you.
No, he was following me, like, home from the bus stop. Testing me.
So what did you do?
I was in, like, a stranger danger situation.
Yeah, how'd you react?
Well, I called my dad.
He picks up? Good. Well done.
You know when people have their Bluetooth on really loud in their car can hear it outside?
Echoing? Oh, that's very funny, Maddie. Rachel's in Seahampton on 13 10 60. Rach, do you spy on your kids?
Yes, I do.
How do you get it done, Rach?
So my daughter's 12. She has a TikTok account, and I have a very good friend of mine who has a TikTok account and keeps an eye on my daughter.
Oh, so she follows your daughter on the app.
Is that good friend of yours called Smachel?
No, her name's Natasha.
Okay.
Good.
Don't give it away.
Yeah. That's so funny.
That's so good. And has she reported back on anything that you've had to, you know, bring up with your daughter?
No, apparently my daughter's actually very boring and does normal 12-year-old things.
That's what you want to hear.
Maybe have a chat to her about that.
TikTok's boring, darling.
Really
you clean
boring.
Up. Yeah.
Let's practice the dances. Get me involved. You know, the parent content always goes off on TikTok.
Do we need a dance tutor for you, darling?
That's the next era, isn't it? Dance schools for TikTok dancers.
To get viral, to get
that's
money.
That's a $1 million idea.
Peter in Weston. Are you spying on your kids?
I did. When I finally agreed to allow my daughter to walk to dance, I waited a couple of minutes and followed her. We only live one block away from the dance studio, but I still had to follow her.
So the couple of minutes you waited, Peter, had she already basically gotten there?
Well, almost. Yeah. It takes about 7 minutes for her to walk there. So now when she's not home by about 8 minutes, I'm on the phone to her.
Where are you?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, full on.
It's the love. It's the love.
Yeah. Yep. If your parents were to be believed when you're growing up, though, after 8 minutes, it wouldn't be a call to her. It'd be a call to the police straight away.
Oh, missing person.
Yeah.
100%.
We need the dogs out here. We need the choppers. She's got... Oh, hold on. No, she's just knocked at the door.
She's a bit slow walking.
Yeah, she did up her shoelace. Never mind.
Tamika texted in as well on the text line. 0488881069. She said she's 24 years old and she had to move back home with her parents and her mum still goes through her phone.
24? Yeah. Oh, so the love doesn't end just because you get into your adult years. Yeah. Spying love.
Yeah. Always be their little baby.
Yeah. Right now, guys, this is a bonkers story. Stick with me.
Okay.
Over in the States, Massachusetts in America, there was a 73-year-old man who is lucky to be alive after he went swimming in a pond and he was attacked.
Not by the herpy goldfish we learnt about the other day.
Oh, no, not by the dead carp or the herpy goldfish. The goldfish have the herp and they were killing the carp.
That's
was
right.
Was it the 18-metre crocodile from Lake Placid.
You know what? It's worse than a croc. It's worse than a shark.
What's worse than those two?
Well, you wouldn't think it, but it's a rabid beaver. That's a beaver eating wood.
The guys that build the dams.
Yeah.
They're one of the most industrious little guys in the world.
You think they're friendly. Listen.
Mate, if Melbourne keeps up with these protests of the construction industry, ship in the beavers.
Get the beavers out there. Get the attack. Attack of the beavers.
No, I meant they could build.
Oh, wouldn't they just chew it all down?
Oh, no, but then they chew the wood to then build the dams.
Oh, so true.
That's what they do.
Do you know they build
those creatures?
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you know they build lodges as well?
They do not build lodges.
They build lodges for
themselves. Like a little holiday lodge.
Yeah, and for their families. And then they have a front entrance and a back entrance to escape predators. And they alert other people, and then they'll duck out the back entrance of their lodge.
Are you
the
joking?
The beaver.
No, the beaver is an amazing animal.
They are. They're very intelligent. Because listen to this. The guy's name is Mark, right? Mark was swimming in a pond by himself in the woods, probably nude. That's not important to the story.
Mate, if you're going on your own, what's the point of wearing trunks?
I know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he felt something start to attack him. When he realised, he looked down and this creature was biting him, gripping onto him, scratching him and not letting go.
Did he think it was a croc about to do the death roll?
I guess so, when it was a 26-kilo rabid beaver going absolutely at him. Listen to the injuries he suffered. Puncture wounds, flesh torn from his arm and leg, scratches and lacerations over his body, scalp, tendons on one of his fingers ripped off, and he's undergoing treatment for rabies.
Oh, my God.
Yep, and he's got fractured knuckles because he had to punch the beaver repetitively to get it off, and it wouldn't release its lockjaw. The beaver was on and he's punching a beaver to get it off, and it wouldn't go off.
I've never heard of them being an aggressive or territorial creature, but I don't think I know that much about the beaver.
But maybe you're about to step on his lodge.
So true. In the pond,
I have toiled to build this holiday home.
How dare you? Funny you say not heard of aggressive beavers, because there's only been 11 attacks of beavers in North America over the last 10 years. But apparently, out of those 11 attacks, they were all the people were hospitalised, and the beavers were very, very serious.
Oh, they don't come to play.
No.
They
don't always attack. When they attack, good luck.
Of all the people you want to get into a fight with, you don't want to get in a fight with people who can chew through wood.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
You know, they're going to be able to get through skin pretty easily.
Yeah.
Wow.
They'll get bone, they'll just keep on going. And their teeth keep on growing for their whole life. So they've got to file that down on you.
And how's this? He got attacked. He couldn't get the beaver off. He couldn't get away. I've just got to swim to shore with it attacking me. Swam 40 yards to shore, tried to punch the beaver off, got in his bicycle and had to ride to the nearest, to his car to then get to the nearest town to get to the medical center. They said he's lucky he didn't bleed out and die in the woods.
Oh.
Or he didn't drown. The beavers can make you drown.
Beaver bites.
Apparently some people have drowned from beavers.
Oh my gosh. Beavers can
kill you. Yeah.
Are there warnings in America? Like you go to the beaches far north Queensland, there's all those things, you know, jellyfish season, be careful. Or croc season, there's crocs in this pond. Beavers, we need to be warning the people.
Surely you know because they've made a dam.
Surely. They're making their own signs.
Yeah.
It's clear that we live here. Yeah. Get out of our pond, you naked mark.
But would you be, how deep? Would you be embarrassed to tell your friends and family? What happened? Oh, I got mauled by a beaver. What? A beaver?
I need three weeks off work.
Yeah. So anyway, he said he's never going to swim in ponds ever again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's turned him against swimming in ponds.
Poor Mark. That was probably his passion.
I know. Riding a bike naked to a pond by himself, swimming in a pond.
But it's the beaver's passion to also swim around naked, building his dam undisturbed.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, you know.
But now he's going to have to play bridge with his wife.
You know, that's Mark or the beaver? Who are we talking about now? The beaver.